Morning. I was talking to Austin just before the lesson and told him that when I first told me to start leading singing, which has been about 40 years ago, they told me before a lesson, always sing a peppy song or a spirited song. That way the congregation's awake by the time you get up there, and hopefully you won't put them to sleep. So, also, after I'd been leading singing about 16 years, I moved to a congregation that had elders, and they objected to some of the songs I led, so they would censor me. Anything that was in the spirited category, that was taboo. You can't lead that. So, we all have perceptions about songs we sing. the songs, for instance, that we sing this time of year, "O Come All Ye Faithful," "Joy to the World," "It Came Upon a Midnight Clear," "Silent Night." Why is we only sing them this time of year? Why don't we sing them all year long? It's because the perception of, oh, that's a Christmas carol. So we don't sing that song. Songs like the Battle Hymn of the Republic. You know, it's in our book, by the way, in the back. But it's a song that everybody steers away from. Why? Because it became a battle song during the Civil War. And so they don't sing that. Dixie was a march, and it was turned into a battle song, and now it's a supremacist or racist song, so they ban it in most places. I know when I was in Texas, there were some rival high schools, and they always played Dixie for their battle song just before the game. And the other school, to try to ruin their morale, banned Dixie. They couldn't play Dixie. So that hurt them pretty bad. So this song, "I'll Fly Away," which we're going to look at this morning, and I've been doing songs that we sing and trying to do the background and see where they came from and what motivated the writing of these songs. "I'll Fly Away" is one of those songs that even when I've led it only twice in about 40 years that I've been leading singing, because when I was growing up, I was in the Pentecostal church, and this was a song they sang. So I assumed or perceived this was a good old gospel or good old Pentecostal song. So I've only led it twice. But after looking up the background, a member of the church wrote this song. In 1926, he penned it. He didn't finish it till 1929. It wasn't published until 1941. And I'm getting ahead of my slides here. So let me catch up. I had Patrick read Psalms 90:10 and Psalms 55:4-7. 90:10 was written by Moses. And in verse 6 of that passage, 90:10 was written by Moses, and he said in there that they'll fly away after they cross the Jordan River. And in verse 6 of 55, David wrote that he'd fly away. And so this song has quite a bit of background. Again, it was written by Albert. I'm stuck on Alfred, I'm sorry. If you hear me say Alfred, it's actually Albert. Albert Brumley wrote this song, and he was a mentor of E.A. Bartlett, who started the Hartford School of Music back in the 1920s. And they used note music almost exclusively. It's what we have in our songbooks now. We have sort of shape notes. Shape notes is what they used. So he wrote this song, And he was born in Oklahoma. And I'll try to catch up with my thing here. He was born in Oklahoma, and he was out working in the cotton fields one day, and they were singing a song, On the Wings of an Angel. Okay, that song, perception-wise, was a prisoner's song. That was a song that prisoners sang. So he's out in the field, and he's singing this song, and he's 24 years old, 1926, and he gets the idea he'd like to fly away. He'd like to fly away from this cotton field he's in, picking this cotton, and get out of there. And so he later was enrolled in the Hartford Musical Institute and learned singing there. And in 1929, this song was finally finished. 1931, it was published. Now, if you look, depending on where you look and everything else, could be 1930, could be 1932. But it was not recorded until 1946 by James and Martha Carson. And then in 1948 by the Chuckwagon Gang. This became the most recorded gospel song of the time. It was the first gospel song, or in the words of Johnny Cash, it was the first country song to sell a million records or a million copies. 2014, it became the number two song in the Australian charts. So this song has a history, and it's been recorded by a lot of famous people, including Johnny Cash. And what's this song about? Well, it's an optimistic song about an earthly death that leads to everlasting life and glory in Christ. And in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 18, we read there that, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." And if you look at 5:12, that's the passage that the author or the writer or whoever published the song used for this. Other churches, other what we call denominations, churches that have different beliefs, use this song for a long time. Well, now it's being challenged as either being politically correct or politically appropriate, or even spiritually correct or appropriate, because it's against the idea of Christ coming back to this earth and setting up his kingdom. Yet the idea of this song is that we'll fly away and that we will meet the Lord in the sky. Revelation 21 and 22 talk about a new Jerusalem coming down from heaven, and that's where they rely on it. However, those same passages say, "When the sea, death, and Hades give up their dead, the earth will be no more, and there will be no place for them." And so this rubs against them, and so this song is being banned in those congregations because of their perception of how this song was written or why it was written, and that it doesn't have a place in the church. If we look at the verses, hopefully that's right. "Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away. To that home on God's celestial shore, I'll fly away." The "some glad morning" indicates sometime in the future that we're all going to die. And it's presumed, or some of those are worried, that this song is kind of a dirge, or it's a down in the dump song because we're going to die. But they don't look at it in the other way, that we'll be with God in heaven. We're not going to be in this earth anymore. And so they object to this song. And there's other reasons they object, and we'll get to those in a minute. This song was very popular in movies. Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou, if anyone has seen that. And there's several others that I didn't write down, so I didn't do it. But this was a very popular song at the time in prisons, because verse 2 and 3 give hope to those who are in prison. The words there in verses 2 and 3 says, "When the shadows of life have grown, I'll fly away. Like a bird from prison bars has flown, I'll fly away. And just a few more weary days, and then let me hear it. I'll fly away to a land where joys will never end. I'll fly away." So they think of this song as a prison song, as well as the one that I mentioned before, because it gives the idea that these prisoners have hope of getting out and being free, and maybe getting away, breaking their bonds and getting out of prison. So when they start analyzing this song, they get the idea or the belief that whoever wrote this song had a broken life, because he's looking forward to death and getting out of here. Well, that wasn't the case that caused Brumley to write this song. He, of course, he wanted out of the cotton fields, but he got the idea from that other song, On the Wings of an Angel, the idea of flying away. Also, we looked at the Psalms. Moses and David looked to the time when they would fly away. And then Paul, in 1 Thessalonians 4, gave us the idea, the hope that we will have a better life. And on these songs, in parentheses, put that up there. In the parentheses, those are the original words. There's no mention of prison bars. Those were added by some of the other writers to this song. But just a few more weary days, and then I'll fly away to a land where joys will never end. And that's actually part of the last verse. But because of this I'll fly away idea, this was Brumley's reason for writing this song. He thought it would be uplifting to those who were breaking their backs in the cotton fields, and give them hope that there's a better life. And nowadays, people don't see it that way. They want to criticize everything. So the song has kind of found a back page in our psalm books and in our singing. The Red Book doesn't even have I'll Fly Away. Only the Blue Book and some of the Brown books have them. And they're in the back. And when I was leading singing back at Denver, the Denver Church of Christ there, they wouldn't let me sing that song because it was categorized as a foo-foo song. You know, something, a feel-good song, basically. And the elder wouldn't let me sing it. So if we look at this in our books, it's under the heading of heaven, because that's what we look forward to, is going to heaven and being with Christ. And so this is why Brumley wrote the song, was to give hope and be optimistic about this life, that there is a better one. So when Carm called yesterday, I was knee-deep in the bumper of my car, because I had to change the headlight. I hate HID headlights, by the way. And I just got in the house, and my wife said, Carmen called. He wants to know if you have a lesson. Well, I'd been working on this lesson about 2 months ago, and I had to run in and polish this lesson up. And I learned from my wife, who's been sick for the last 3 or 4 days. She kind of relapsed, and hopefully it wasn't because of my cooking. And I came down with whatever she's got, and I feel just as bad as she does. So I'm empathetic to her. And she's been in bed for the last 3 days. This thing has just kind of knocked her out. So this is the lesson this morning. And if anyone has any needs, come as Austin sings number 23.
That should do number 512 in the blue. Kind of fitting. Number 512 in the blue.